Shark Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Granato being joined right now. 12-time winner on the PGA Tour, two majors, the Woodlands' own, Stacey Lewis, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Stacey, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being here. We had Corby Robertson on a couple of weeks on the Charlie Epps show, and we were talking about the spirit in the Houston Food Bank, and they said that you were involved. How are you involved? What you doing with them?
So last fall, I was actually the captain of the U.S. team at the Spirit Amateur Championship, and through all that, became a board member, and then kind of through all this, you know, Corby, this was all Corby's idea. You have to give it to him. You know, he has the generous mind, and, you know, they just came to me and asked how I could help and what we should do, and I was like, well, we need to make some videos. We need to get on social media. We need to go to the food bank. We need to do all this stuff, and so it's been off and running since.
Yeah, and Charlie Epps told me this this past Saturday. He said, man, it is going crazy how much money's been raised so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Corby just, he has a lot of great friends and a lot of people he can reach out to. But just to have, you know, that giving mind and that during this time, you know, I mean, he's just ambitious. You know, to think that his goal is to raise $2.5 million, and I just, you know, it's just cool to be around him and see what he sets his mind to. He's going to do it. And people have gotten involved. They've, you know, we have different ways you can help. And it's been pretty cool to see the response so far.
Yeah, I went and I texted 41444. And if anybody wants to help out with the spirit, all of it's going to the Houston Food Bank. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it all over, and the Spirit Golf Association is doing all of this. But if you want to text 41444, you can immediately donate, and that's how I did it. And if anybody out there right now wants to do it, let's go 41444 and donate to the Houston Food Bank through the Spirit, through golf, which is always doing. I mean, golf losing these, and I've talked about this quite a bit, Stacey, is that all these charities out there, and how much money does golf raise every year for charities? It is the number one sport for charities, and then without all of these tournaments, it's got to be killing them.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, I just think about some of the towns we play in and how important we are to those towns to keep all their different organizations running. And you know, we need to play. We need to be there. And, you know, while we haven't been able to play in golf tournaments, we've been able to play golf courses. And so I think it's just a good time to remind everybody that's getting to play golf right now because they're not working or whatever it is just because they have more time. You know, let's think about some other people through this and think about those kids that don't have the school lunches and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what's the website? Do you know the website?
Well, I know it's through the Spirit Golf Association, so if you can pull that up, there's a link there. You can donate. You can get all the info. You can actually you can click on a link to actually go volunteer at the Houston Food Bank. There are five or six of us went and did that and helped pack up some boxes for a few hours. And but they're looking for volunteers. So if you can't donate money, maybe go do that.
Absolutely. Get involved somehow. Do something. But if you can, HoustonFoodBank.org/Spirit Food Fund. HoustonFoodBank.org/Spirit Food Fund. Did you watch the match this weekend with Rory and DJ and Ricky and Matthew?
I did. I watched a little bit just because it's the only live sports that's been on in a really long time. So watched a little bit of golf, and you know, it was fun to see the guys in shorts and carrying their own bags, and it was pretty cool to watch.
Why did they make them carry their own? Can't you have a cart follow them around? I thought that's kind of silly, isn't it?
Yeah, they're following all the guidelines, so they had to make sure they did everything right. And because you know, if something does go wrong, it would slow us down more at trying to get into play again. So. That's what we got to do. We got to do everything right now, and, you know, hopefully this a year from now, this is a thing of the past.
DJ forgot his bag once. He hit his drive, and he started walking up the, hey, oh, wait, go get my bag. I got to carry my bag. I forgot. Who you
kind of wonder if their feet and their legs were sore after that too, not being used to doing that.
Right. No. I mean, carrying, really? Those guys haven't carried a bag in how long? So who do I bet on this weekend? Tiger and Peyton or Phil and Brady?
I think you got to go Tiger's team because it's Tiger's home track. So I think he's definitely got an advantage there from home course. Because I don't know what kind of golfers Peyton and Tom are, but I think I'd take Tiger on his home track anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. We're with Stacey Lewis here on ESPN 97.5. So what do you think about when – what do you think is the – have you heard anything? Have you heard from the LPGA? What's I know that you guys have had to cancel, and I've seen – we all know that the startup is going to be in mid-June for the PGA. What about you guys?
Well, unfortunately for us, we've had more tournaments canceled, and we're actually not supposed to start now till kind of mid to late July. And that's even pending on hopefully the Ohio governor allows us to play. But our tour is very different from the guys in that we need fans there. We need to be able to do pro-ams because pro-ams is what makes our tournaments happen. And so, while we could do tournaments without fans, it doesn't make much sense for us just at the business model that we have. So we really need to get fans back out there, and that's going to be kind of determined when we start.
Not only that, but your tour is a lot more global than the PGA Tour, which can survive just in the United States. You guys have got to travel the world. Are you a little worried about all that?
I am. You know, right now we still have tournaments that are supposed to happen in Europe and Asia in the fall. I was actually in Australia in February when this kind of all started. So, I think you're always kind of worried a little bit when you traveled internationally, but I think now you're paying attention to it a lot more. And, it's just hard to make plans right now. You just don't really know what's going to happen. What's the world going to look like 3 months from now? It could look totally different. So, just kind of be patient and keep practicing a little bit here and there and just try to be ready to go when they say it's time.
If you were running female U.S. golf, why is it that, in every other sport, and you look at the men, the world golf rankings, and it's loaded with Americans, why is it? What do we need to do differently in the U.S.?
I think a little bit is the model that we have in junior golf. I use Korea as an example because they've been so dominant, but in Korea, you move up to the next level, whether it's an amateur level or an ex-professional tour, whatever it is, once you win and once you do well. So if you're really good at 14, you move up really fast. If you're not so good, you move up slow. Where in the U.S., you move on because you turned 18 or you turned 16, you move to the next level. So it's a more competitive environment. I think our tour versus PGA Tour, I think what's different, too, is that we are the women's tour, the best global tour. So everybody's coming here to play. So when you win on our tour, you truly have beat the best players in the world. And the PGA Tour, you can only say that maybe at majors because so many guys choose to stay home in Europe or stay home in Asia and play because they can make a really good living there where there's not any other women's tours that you can really do that.
Right. Stacey Lewis is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Well, you said, though, I don't know about having fans out there, and you do. You have to have fans out there. But why can't you have a pro-am? I'm going to play today, and we've got a foursome, and we're all going to be in separate carts. And why in the world? Golf, I feel like golf should have been leading the way all the way because we're outside. You don't have to be, you don't close. It's not like basketball where you're sweating on each other. You can stay separated, right. and you can go down the fairway. You're with 6 feet apart. So golf is perfect for starting back up in sports.
I agree. I do think when sports do start, I think golf will be the first one. I think just because of those aspects, you're outside, you can stay far apart, but it's coming up with all the different guidelines of do people have to carry their own bags? Usually in pro-ams, you either have a caddy or you have a cart. You have two people on a cart. So how does that work? You have to think of all the volunteers that it takes, your scores, You know, there's just so many other people other than just us that are required to make a tournament happen that I think that's ultimately what's holding us back right now.
Absolutely. So how difficult – so you're kind of used to starting and stopping and starting again with the baby and you know, and getting back out there and getting back in the swing. How difficult was that transition after the baby? And now, you know, a lot of women aren't going to be used to it, but you kind of are now.
Yeah. I think, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've had a lot of starting and stopping. I had the baby 18 months ago, and I got injured last fall. So I'm just ready to play in golf tournaments. I just feel like I haven't played in tournaments, and I just want to play. But, you know, I don't know if it's having the baby or what. I'm just more patient with this whole thing of just, there's not a whole lot I can control in this. And I just wait till they tell me it's time, and then I go. And other than that, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to enjoy this time with my child and my husband and actually being home. And I've never ran the dishwasher so much and had to change the sheets on the bed so much. It's just kind of all these new things that I'm learning.
That is funny. How is it, because I've got grown kids, so how is it having a baby during a pandemic?
It's not bad. You just think about everything she touches. You know, I think when they're really little, it's probably easier because they're not touching everything. But mine's at the age where she wants to touch everything and then put it in her mouth. So I haven't really taken her anywhere. I've been very cautious. I have Clorox wipes in the car, and they're more for her than they are for me.
Absolutely. And it's 24 hours during a pandemic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... You know, I'm looking for my mom. I'm like, Mom, can you just come watch her for a couple hours? I just need a little bit of a break here. So,
no, they don't give you a break. That's right. It's easier to win on the LPGA tour or take care of a baby 24 hours a day.
Oh, I think it's easier to win.
Easier to win.
Stacey, trying to find things to do. You got to keep her entertained. You got to feed her every meal. I mean, gosh, it's two full-time jobs.
Doesn't stop. That doesn't stop. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Stacey Lewis with us here. So you figure maybe mid-July for you for the LPGA?
Yeah. Right now, first event's in Toledo, Ohio. I think it's about the third week of July. So, you know, hopefully, once we do, assuming we do start there, we're going to have a tournament almost every week until Christmas. So start playing, we're going to be very busy.
Right, and how's that for a mom? I mean, that's got to be difficult as well. When you got back out, what did you play, 19 events last year?
Yeah, she traveled with me to every tournament. We have daycare, and so, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting back on the road and just being able to play and take her and go go to different zoos and go see the world, go to the beach, and be able to take her place along the way.
Well, that is neat. That is great. I didn't know the baby travels with you. That's awesome. They got daycare for her, and that's awesome. That is great.
Yeah, I think she had been on over 50 flights by the time she turned a year old.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. How's the University of Houston golf team going to be?
I think they're doing great. You know, my husband's team, they've won their conference championships, I think, two of the last 3 years, and they're going to have kind of an older, they were pretty young this year, but have an older roster going forward. And but it's just cool to see how much they've improved over the last few years and really been, you know, kind of knocking on the door of getting to a national championship.
Yeah, that is great. That is great. Well, congratulations. Spirit Food Bank, everyone. Let's go. It's the HoustonFoodBank.org. HoustonFoodBank.org/Spirit Food Fund. HoustonFoodBank.org/Spirit Food Fund. Or easier, 41444. You just text it and you can donate right there on your phone. Very easy to do. I did it last week and it's simple. Let's raise a bunch of money through the Spirit, through Whispering Pines. What a golf course, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. Just gorgeous. If you get a chance to play Whispering Pines, don't say no. No matter when they say. Yeah, take off of work, take a vacation, whatever you got to do, go play Whispering Pines whenever you can. Stacey, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the success and continued success out there on the tour.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Stacey Lewis right here on ESPN 97.5. HoustonFoodBank.org/SpiritFoodFund. All right, I want to talk right now about being – she's a champ. I want to talk about being a champion right now. If you're looking for a great way for you to save money so you can give it to the Houston Food Bank, go to Champion Energy. It's champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. It's awesome. It is the best way to go about this. All the electricity is all the same. Why are you paying more at the other places? Well, they're going to give me nights and great. They're going to give you nights and weekends. Then they're going to gouge you. And then they're going to fee you to death. But the rate's better. Yeah, well, where do you see the fees that they're charging you? It's unbelievable. So, look, I just passed by their building yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's right here in Houston. Houston owned and operated, and it's Houston people. You're staying or keeping it right here as opposed to out there the rest of the world, giving your money elsewhere. Keep it right here. Go to champion.energy/1560.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back. No, it wasn't a replay of the Saturday show, Art. That was a live. That was Stacey Lewis, the Woodlands' own, pride of the Woodlands, playing right here on ESPN 97.5, Art. That was not a replay.
He's talking about the old
Charlie Up Show.
Charlie Up Show, yeah.
No.
Right. You're no longer a part of the Charlie Up Show, right? Or do you still do it?
No, I am.
Oh, okay.
I am again. I gave it up for a while, and now I'm back. Me, Charlie, and Billy every Saturday.
Cool.
We've had some. We've had, yeah, I don't know if how extensive is your golf knowledge?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's
well, you know who
bad.
Jim Nance is.
I do know who Jim Nance is, yeah.
Jim Nance, Ben Crenshaw. We had, do you know who Ben Crenshaw is?
No.
Do you know who Stan Musial is?
Musical, get his name correct?
Yeah, it's Stan Musical, you know who he is. You don't know, you don't know, like 15 years ago you stopped, right? You don't like to look back at anything 15 years old?
Yeah, I don't know. When I was younger even, I just, The 60s decade didn't attract me on television. Like, I didn't really, like, I don't, it, like, it, and even if I do find any type of programming that I enjoyed, it's really hard for me to remember, like, the name. That's just me, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're like, my kids are the same. They're like, oh, this movie's old. But it's a really, really, really good movie. Yeah, but it's, like, from 1990 or something. I'm like, oh, my God.
I mean, it's just because it's, like, they're not used to that production. And if you're not
right.
From that like era of production, it's just it's like you're watching something obsolete. I feel like, but I guess that's irresponsible on my part. I guess, but
when I was a kid, I loved old movies and I loved studying old baseball and in football and yeah, I just loved knowing the history of it. So that's how I was. I mean, I used to watch old movies. James Cagney, I mean, black and white, you know, I thought they were great. So I can see though, I mean, this generation, if it's not, and a lot of it is hokey and a lot of it is so, yeah, you're right. The production value is so poor next to today's, you know, you're like, I ain't doing that. I'm going to watch. Have you ever watched someone else playing a game?
No. When was that?
No. Playing a video game.
Oh, no.
You're not an e-gamer.
No, I won't watch someone else play. Like, my brother's really big on that. I just can't get into it, you know? I can't watch somebody. AJ and I were talking about this because, you know, his son is a big gamer, and he wanted, you know, I guess his son wanted him to watch, you know, with him. And AJ was with me. I can't get into that. Now, I have watched some, and to a certain extent, they don't necessarily have to be good gamers. They just have to be, like, personalities on their YouTube channel. And so when, like, they make fun of the situation, I feel like some of them. But I think what makes it really hard, if you're not playing those games all the time, you don't get the references on the
yeah.
channel. So I just, like, so no, I'm out. I'm out.
No, I'm out, period. I don't, that's, it's hard enough to watch other people actually play sports. you know, I mean, and that's our job, and we're supporting, you know. But sometimes I'm like, I don't feel like watching that today. I just, you know what? That's, I'll read about it or I'll watch the highlights. But to watch someone else play a video game, I just feel like you're not living a life.
And
I don't know.
It's ridiculous because these guys are making so much money and they've got so many streamers. I mean, in terms of like movies in the 80s, I do appreciate a lot of the drug movies. You know, I like Scarface. I did watch Airplane, but I'm not necessarily like big on all 80s movies. I don't necessarily hate all of them either. So,
yeah, No. There are a lot of great. Like, have you ever seen Million Dollar Baby?
No, we were just talking about that too, and I got killed for that too. I get killed all the time for my lack of movie.
Million Dollar Baby is a great movie. Great, and my son watched. You know, oh, this is old. Yeah, it's older. Watch it, and he was like, "Holy crap! What a great! That was a great movie."
So he appreciated
great movie.
It.
Yeah, you need to watch it. That and there's all kinds of them. Nick, just go through all the Oscar winners from years past. Now they're not always, you know, or nominated Oscar nominated movies, and you'll find a bunch of wealth. Nick, look back. Watch something that's older than 10 years old. Okay.
Clint Eastwood was in that movie, huh?
Who was?
Million Dollar Baby, Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was old in the movie, too. So, and it's just great. That is a great movie. One of the all-time greats. Like Gladiator. Have you seen Gladiator?
Yeah, I love Gladiator. That's a really good movie.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good movie.
Saving Private Ryan?
I watched that. That's a good movie. I appreciated Gladiator more, but I like Saving Private Ryan. 300.
300. What about Goodfellas?
Yeah, I've watched that. That's a good one. In terms of comedies, I mean, I'm big on – I love Wedding Crashers. That's like one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I watch some movies. I'm just not pretty good about remembering a lot of these other movies from back in the 80s.
Yeah, or Stan Musial's name. You're not good at that.
Look, Charlie's schooling me, dude. So he's the top 20 – player of all time, according to Charlie Polillo. Did you appreciate Stan? Did you go back and watch some of his games?
It was before my time.
Right.
It was before my time, but I knew, yes. I knew, absolutely, and saw highlights of him, and he was a great, great player. Great player. But, I never saw him play, no. But I appreciate him. I appreciate him. Like, you know who Ernie Banks is?
Yeah, I know Ernie Banks. I just didn't remember Stan. I mean, I appreciate some of the greats from back then, Hank Aaron, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them. I just didn't remember Stan. It didn't ring a bell. I don't remember watching anything on Stan.
Do you remember Jomo Thompson?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Greatest cheerleading coach ever. That's right. Jomo Thompson.
I mean, you've been vouching for her the entire show. I mean, you should be getting an interview opportunity with Jomo. You might be able to get her another job somewhere.
No, Jomo's a guy.
I mean, him, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting there's only one of the three, or one of the four is female, right?
One
Kelsey?
Of the four, I think it's Kelsey. Yeah. She's a one. But if you didn't hear the Kentucky cheerleading story, well, you missed it. They were cheering without panties. And topless, and Jomo, the coach, got fired, and they were drunk and getting wasted and needing medical attention. But other than that, actually, I think it's a wonderful program. Period. Now I'm a big Kentucky cheerleading fan.
I don't know. I don't
10-29.
I don't know if parents are going to send their daughters back to that school ever again. It's over.
Well, I don't know. Well, Jomo's gone, and they win. That's all they do is win national championships. So, you know what? Jomo was doing something right, getting him wasted. Apparently he wasn't, though. One of the moms and one of the former cheerleaders said, that ain't none of this. Those girls did that on their own. So don't be blaming Jomo. Whatevs. I think it's a great program. I'm going to send my – if Frankie didn't have all her eligibility over, she'd be going to Kentucky.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't send her there.
Well, I wouldn't mind her winning the national championship, I'll tell you that. That'd be awesome. Go get that ring, Frankie. 10:30, ESPN 97.5.
the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
I'm not going to say it's an all-out mistake. I'm just going to say this is a delicate time right now to be discussing money in the public when you got billionaires and millionaires fighting over who's going to, you know, get the biggest pie of all of this. I think at this particular time, take pride in being the first major sport back on TV. Because I think there's a huge upside for the owners to get that TV revenue nationally and locally, because people are just right out tired right now being at home with no pro sports on national TV. So as for the players, I look back to 94. I think we were a little too vocal about the strike, and it definitely hurt us because it took baseball a few years to come back after that. They just need to be a little more careful with their words, because you guys know and I know in the media, we're looking for the biggest gun to make the biggest mistakes so we can plaster off all the news. And that's what's happening right now with the top players.
I couldn't agree more. That was Frank Thomas. Where did you pull that from?
I believe it was on a podcast. I'll get it for you right now. But
oh,
yeah,
that's
that,
all right.
I couldn't agree more with that. I mean, I feel like he's on point right now, because it's just never a bad look. It's a lose-lose situation, even if you're right when you start complaining about money.
Yep. 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 Agree 100%, 1,000%. 1,000% agree. Just don't. But man, what a douchebag Blake Snell looked like.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, where were you on that?
Listen, he may be right. You know, Wetzel wrote an article and I read it and I was like, yeah, you make some good points. The dude is risking his life. Not really risking his life like hospital workers are. Not really risking his life, but he's going to be pampered with, every single precaution of their precious little bodies are going to be taken care of, so that they don't, and they can make all of their money. You know, I know $1.7 million ain't, and oh, by the way, you know, it's not going to happen that way, Blake. You're going to get $3.5 million. You're making $7 million this year. You'll get $3.5 million. And yeah, you do have to be taxed. Like we all do. We all get taxed, Blake. I know it's rough for you as a millionaire to be taxed, but, you know, it's hard on all of us. But, and trust me, they're going to pamper and make sure no one is going to. These guys, they just live in a world that they don't get it. They just don't get it sometimes.
So are you of the belief that, okay, because he agreed to the 82-game. The 82 game,
right.
Like, but he just didn't want to, because apparently the owners wanted to reduce his pay even further, right?
That I get. No. Hey, I'm with them on this. The owners made an agreement. If they didn't think about no fans in the stands when they made the agreement, then that's on them. They're stupid. We all thought about that from the get-go. That's on you, your lawyers, your negotiators, that you agreed to do, okay, you get half your pay. You play half the games, you get half your pay. Well, wait a minute, there might not be – well, no, duh. Of course there might not be fans in the stands. We've known that for months and months and months now. So you should have never agreed to it, but you did agree to it, so now move on. You made a bad deal. Oh, well.
Well,
that's on you, owners.
Yeah, they had – I mean, once they knew that fans were not going to be in the stands, obviously you have to search for other, you know, avenues of revenue, and obviously, you know, or possibly most of that revenue is going to come from the TV dollars, and hopefully you can raise as much TV dollars as possible to cover the 82 games that you've promised to pay. But you knew that you weren't going to get that channel of revenue at the gate and in the stands and the concession stands and the beer and all that other stuff.
Right.
So you knew that going forward. You knew that was going to be a massive hit and that the numbers were going to go down. So, yeah. I mean, Snell was going to get hate regardless. And I do feel like it's kind of split. I know Bryce Harper agreed with him, and I feel like it's kind of split, because I feel like as much of a D-bag Snell came off like in that video on that Twitch feed, a lot of people were supporting him as well because you're telling him that to take an even further cut because really you didn't consider the lack of revenue you're going to get from not having fans in the stands.
Right. No, that's not the listen. But the way he said, I ain't gonna put. I could die. You know, that's the same guy that when this all started. Well, if I get it, I get it. There's quotes from him saying, "If I get it, I get it. Oh well,
yeah.
I'm young. I can fight it off." Well,
yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Which one is it, Blake? The one that might only be playing for. You might have to play baseball for $1.7 million, Blake. Oh my God, how are you gonna do it?
Yeah.
What a horrible, horrible thing for you.
Yeah. It's a bad look for him. I mean, especially if you have like a choir boy type of general manager that, you know, like if he was a football player, he probably would never get a job with the Texans, right?
No, because he's not all – he doesn't eat, drink, sleep, baseball, and it's the most important thing. And if you have anything else – and I don't know if he's got any baby mamas. I don't know, but you can't have a baby mama with the Texans. And listen, if you're not all on board working your ass, are you playing a video game instead of working out, Blake? Sorry, can't be a Texan. We're not doing that around here. We got to have a culture. Well, hey, listen, I make fun, but I don't totally disagree with Bill O'Brien. If he feels like a DeAndre Hopkins, his work habits, his practice habits are really affecting the whole team. If other guys see it, and when you're a leader of the team, and if you're not, you know, I mean, I can't imagine that there's a better – J.J. Watt may never, ever have to retire because Bill O'Brien will want him on his team forever because of his work ethic, right?
Yeah,
so,
but, I mean, are we really thinking that even if he wasn't practicing as hard as he should have, you think that that was leaking over to the rest of the team and they were thinking, you know what, if D-Hop doesn't practice – I'm not practicing. Like, does that you really think it bled over to the point where it was impacting some of the younger players or new players that's been introduced? I don't think so. Like, if you're a younger player trying to prove yourself, you need to prove yourself. You shouldn't be looking at D-Hop.
Now, Bill O'Brien thought that. And by the way, Bill, man, the team dichotomy, Nick, is listen. If the star can do it, I can do it. Okay. And look. He don't work that. I mean, I'm going home. I'm going to get out of here as soon as I can, and whatever D Hop was doing afterwards or whatever, you know, that young players see that. And if young players like you saw the Jordan documentary, man, that's our star, and he works harder than anybody. Guess what I got to do? And you know what? When he asked me to work hard, I'm going to work hard. And you know what they did? They won championships. Because they worked their asses off because Mike made them work their asses off. Do you think DeAndre Hopkins has that gene in him? Probably not.
Probably because of his natural talent. It's not as necessary for him. But like you take someone who really needs to, I don't know.
Was it that necessary for Mike? Look at his natural talent. And look at the work ethic. And you know what? Translated into 6 titles.
Yeah, but in basketball, how many people are on that roster though? It's just like I feel like it's easier for him to influence team.
Look at Brady. I mean, you know where Bill O'Brien got all this is from the Patriots. And you know what the Patriots do? They win championships. And look at Brady. I mean, that dude is eat, sleep, drinks. He's got a book on how to eat right so that you can be a Super Bowl champion. I mean. They give everything for it, and that's the culture O'Brien's trying to build there. And, yes, the star does matter, and his work ethic does matter, and how much work he puts in does matter.
I mean, you do make some good points. I just feel like there's got to be more leaders in that locker, considering how many players are on a roster in any given NFL football team, right? And if you're a defensive player and you're saying, well, you know, D-Hop, he's not working on his craft, so I'm not working on mine. I just think it's a bad way to approach things. But if D-Hop, to me, if it's trickling down that much because the way D-Hop is acting, then I think that means he's practically being a cancer. And I don't know if I view Hopkins as a cancer. I just...
Well, you ain't there every day, though. Bill O'Brien did. He faced the same thing about Clowney. Clowney and D-Hop, got to go. We need a culture here.
Well, he gone.
Yeah, that's right. But here's the deal. The trade-off is... You get rid of talented players. You get rid of talent. Bill O'Brien says it's more important to have a culture than it is talented players. I mean, Brandon Cooks is a Jack Easterby guy. What kind of character do you think he's got since Jack Easterby loves that guy? I mean, Randall Cobb, these guys that are bringing in, David Johnson, apparently he's a character guy. This is the kind of guy that Bill O'Brien's bringing in, and he thinks that's going to win instead of great talent that doesn't work hard. That's what he's bringing.
Take the risk. I'm not saying.
We'll find out. And he has said it. You know what? He may be right. Give it some time. Don't make the judgment now. You know what? Let's see how it plays out before everybody judges all of these trades in this roster. All right. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, I got to talk about my man, Scott McGrath. You know what season it is, right? It's pest killing season. And McGrath Pest Control wants to do the killing for you. When we had our house, McGrath Pest Control guy came, and awesome. Hawaii would come to the house, and they just perfect. You know when you have the guys that come out and they spray, and it smells, didn't smell at all. You know that. But Scott McGrath has been doing this for so long, and he has really perfected this thing. And I'm a big Scott McGrath guy. And this is fleas, termites, mosquitoes, rain ants are coming. Save your home for termites and save your family from mosquitoes. They talk mosquitoes. They got that mosquito season is around the corner. They got the mosquito murdering system where they can put it outside and make it so that you can actually sit outside on your patio, on your porch, by your pool, and not get destroyed. And termites, I think you know what they do. They destroy a home. So McGrath Pest Control kills termites, mosquitoes, ants, roaches, fleas, spiders, bedbugs. They can install exclusions, keep rodents out as well. 281-469-8240. Who is your pest control company? Use ours. 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So apparently there's a Nebraska woman who is suing all gay people.
How's that possible?
She's suing every gay person on earth, asking a federal judge to rule on whether homosexuality is a sin. Sylvia Driscoll, 66. She describes herself as an ambassador of God and his son and will serve as her own lawyer in Driscoll versus Homosexuals.
That's not a real story.
It's a real story. Oh, yeah. NBC News reported this first.
Okay. It's a real story.
It's a real story. Yeah.
What are the chances of her being successful in this lawsuit?
Zero.
Slim to none?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, what are you suing? Are you suing them for damages? How are they in any way, shape, or form? If this is criminal, why are you suing them as opposed to prosecuting them?
There
has to be. There has to be some sort of damages that you would have to be able to. They have to have damaged you in some way, shape, or form if it's a civil suit.
It doesn't say anywhere what she could potentially get, but I did see a few activists, like gay activists, that were willing to take the stand in the event that she was really, willing to proceed with this. Yeah, I would imagine there's a very, very small chance that she has any chance to go anywhere with this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Now, see, this is an idea. See what comes out of this thing? Great ideas. L.A. is going to have its first legal liquor store on wheels. They'll be selling booze on the streets starting next week. What?
That's even more convenient than the drive-through idea.
I know. I mean, I don't have to leave. I mean, that is perfect.
So that it's just delivery, or are you just driving around downtown selling liquor?
It's just driving around. It's a liquor store on wheels. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right. the high court is going to decide, the Supreme Court is going to decide whether or not it is illegal for the police to enter your home and steal from you. All right.
How do you justify that? How?
Well, you know that is actually, if you know what, if they find, if that, listen, the DA can just do this. If they have any kind of reasonable, probable cause, they can come in, shut you down, put all of your everything on hold, on freeze. They freeze all of your assets. And if they find that you were illegally getting that money, oh, guess who gets that money? The DA's office.
Of course.
And, yeah, this is happening all the time, Nick, in this country, around the world, actually. And it is, and, yeah, people have been, there are ugly stories about people who they thought were criminals, and they just took everything from them. It was on hold. I mean, when Prime got shut down, all of their everything was shut down. Everything that was in there, all of the money, everything was, you know, it was being held.
I heard
and
about
if they
that.
Were found guilty of money laundering, guess who would have gotten it? The state.
Well, it's a good thing
the DA's office.
Good thing they battled through that. I mean, that's just crazy how that happens. I didn't know that police could even. That could even be published as a story. I mean, you would think.
Oh, yeah.
You would think that would be. You would think there'd be some sort of justification as to why they're going to get into your house like that and freeze your assets.
Well, if they think that you're doing, if you're gaining that money or anything illegally, then they, and that's exactly what they do. Even if, you know, and they can hold it for, if they, you know, they could wait to prosecute you for years and hold it. And so we'll see what the Supreme Court says about this. A woman wanting payment, apparently in New Zealand, has taken a sheep and she is holding it for ransom. So apparently a woman was holding an associate's male sheep until she received a payment she believes she was owed. And she's holding the sheep. Ransom. Do you think that this they should pay up? Where's my sheep? Give me my sheep.
You remember, I mean, that is movie? It ransom or is it like collateral? Like
it's ransom. If you don't give me my payment, I'm gonna kill your sheep.
Well, that's not nice. It looks like an adorable sheep from the picture that I see. That's not nice. Give the person back their sheep, man. That's,
I know.
Cool.
Look at that little sheep. That's all it wants is to get sheared. You know, it's hot out. It's hot in here. I don't need this coat anymore. You see now that a lot of landlords now are taking sexual payments as opposed to rent.
Oh, I guess they got to collect somehow.
Do you think that you would you pay your rent in sex as opposed to money?
I don't know if my tenant would want that. They probably would reject me.
What if he came up to you and said, listen, I'd like to have sex with you instead of you paying rent? What would you say?
That'd be a massive negative, a big no. I mean, I'd
What
have
if to... she said, and she was hot?
Like Instagram model hot?
Yeah. Man. IG, like booty, like with the IG ones with the booties, not with the no booties.
I mean, I think there's an obvious yes there, free rent, and you get that. I mean, there's a... I mean, when
right?
you led with he at first, sir. I mean, that's what you...
Well, then, I wanted to see which, okay, what your threshold for pain was, okay? you don't have to pay rent, but you got to have sex with this guy. No. Your answer was no. Okay.
Yep.
But, okay.
Hard no.
What about her? Okay, let's say she was an Instagram model. Would you do it?
No. Can't.
No?
No. You would? No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't have sex with an Instagram model, so you didn't have to pay rent.
Oh, I thought you said grandma. I was like, no.
No. Instagram model.
Absolutely.
Okay. What if she was,
Like San Antonio chubby?
Well, okay.
As Charles Barkley would refer to?
Yeah. What if she was San Antonio chubby, maybe?
I mean, how much is rent? Is rent like 2,000? Like, am I like in a Manhattan apartment? Like, what? Like,
no, where you live now?
I mean, rent's kind of expensive.
Okay, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying I'd say yes. I mean, there'd be some considerations. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, all right. So, rent free. I can take one for the team here, right?
I'm not saying I'd say yes. I'm just saying I'd consider it.
Well, that's where I wanted to know. What was your threshold for paying on rent? That's all. Okay? I found out you ain't doing it if it's a he, and you're kind of questionable on if she's from San Antonio. Okay? I just wanted to know where you were on this one, on this rent thing. Apparently, it's not really all that – it can't be all that expensive where you live.
It is pretty expensive.
Pretty
actually.
Expensive?
It's pretty pricey.
Well, then I'm
actually.
Surprised you wouldn't jump on San Antonio. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All right. We are done. We will talk to you tomorrow. The Press Box is up next right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great day, everybody.